What is good, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Hype Report. I hope you are well. Today we've got a very fun guest, someone who I wanted to have on for a long time. He's very big in the sneaker space. He's been doing the most on the resale scene. Ryan, how are you, bro?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Nah, all good, man. All good. Tell the people who don't know you a little about yourself and what you do in this space.
So I'm Ryan. I have a store in Soho, London Sneaker Club, and I guess I've built like a persona kind of separately to the store where I've sold and bought very expensive shoes, mainly SBs. And I think the first video I created, I just did it. I don't even know why I did it. It was intended on being a day in the life, and I was going to buy a load of shoes, and the video did relatively well. And I thought maybe I should just film other videos similar to this, and then they all kind of popped off. So
yeah, man, I mean, going back to the just some very expensive shoes, I mean, they're not just expensive shoes, they're very premium. Premium shoes. I mean, I was looking through your page this morning, or just like a bit about your background, and I was looking at the Futura Dunks last year, 130k.
That was a crazy shoe.
I mean, that's insane, isn't it, right? Because they what, like 10 of them in the world or something like that?
Wow. That's an interesting question. I believe there was either six or eight. They were sold by the Sotheby's auction. And yes, then semi-recently, a lot of pairs were seeded out.
Okay.
So there's more on the market now, which I don't know what that's done to the value of them.
Yeah, because I remember watching a vid and you were like, I can't show the box label.
Yeah,
because people are replicating it or something like that, I imagine.
I didn't want to do it because that shoe had never been seen before. And the label was different to, it was different to a sample label. It was different to obviously a normal label. So I just thought I'd best not show it just in case.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it was.
They dropped in. They had the UNC colorway in the orange and blue, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful
shoe.
They
were really cool. I remember when they were teasing them and we were making some content about them. And they always did loads of good numbers because everyone wanted the shoe so bad. What, in talking about that kind of value of shoe, is that one of the most expensive pairs you've ever sold?
I think I've sold two at that value, one even more expensive that I didn't even make a TikTok out of it. I wasn't even allowed to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you just say what shoe it was or not?
I can tell you why I can't make a video out of it.
Yep.
The shoe is another very rare shoe. There were 24 made. So with that, everyone in the industry kind of knows who the owners are roughly.
Okay.
And they know if one pair might have been worn by a certain celebrity. And I bought a pair off someone and then sold it on. But the person I bought it from, for whatever reason, I don't know, but he asked me to keep it totally private.
Mm.
I think with the size that he had, I think there was only other one in that size, and the other owner was quite a famous person that has famously worn the shoe. And he didn't want it to be known that he had sold his pair.
I then couldn't
make any content out of that particular shoe, which is crazy because it's a shoe I've always wanted to make content out of, and I wasn't even allowed.
It must be so frustrating, man. It's so frustrating, like just sat on such, because you know that video will probably bang and it's such a cool story and cool shoe. And
yeah, I made the content and then he was like, listen, I need you to not mention this.
Yeah, and I guess when there's that amount of value involved, you can't really be like, no, has there been any, can you tell us any celebrities you've sold to or any maybe high profile clients, or has that got to be kept a little bit more low key?
So what I've found is it's very rare, well, for me anyway, I know celebrities and whatnot are buying these kind of shoes, but for me they're not spending the same money that a private individual is on shoes. And I don't know if it's because they don't see the value which other people do. Because I would say that anyone that's buying these expensive shoes is an investor of some kind. They're seeing the value increasing over the last few years, and they're normally buying it to put in a collection. And those guys are normally the kind of guys that also buy art, they buy vintage cars.
Yes, yes. It's interesting you say it because it's exactly what Sneaker Den said.
Yeah.
When he came, obviously you guys do quite similar stuff. And it was interesting, and I was always, because I don't know why. I mean, I was always like, oh, the rapper's obviously going to spend the most amount of shoes. But he was like, nah, like, no. They might spend like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 on a pair, but then they don't do any more, because it is, shoes nowadays are, well, they can be an investment piece, and they are effectively move like art to a degree, I guess, which is crazy.
Exactly that.
What do you think of the sneaker space at the moment? Because it is always changing, but I feel over the last 6 months, it's really changed like quite heavily, especially what kind of influential, well, influencers and fashion influencers are actually wearing. I feel like there's been a change from sneakers to much more, maybe a different type of silhouettes, and away from that kind of sporty sneakers that we've seen, that we used to see back, well, a couple of years ago trending.
I think you're totally right. It's completely changed. I think more people are now opting for sort of higher end shoes. Margiela's, even the Loro Piana's, people are wearing those types of shoes. And even your kind of active wear, like Solomon's and stuff, more people are wearing those.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of coincided with a time whereby there's not that many limited releases that Nike have pushed out there. So there's nothing out there that's particularly hard to get from a store. So I think people are just trying to change it up a little bit and wear something different.
Yeah, I feel that a lot of people have gone to a lot more kind of timeless silhouettes and shoes, like Timberlands and boots and that kind of workwear stuff. I mean, it's changed from people rocking like last year or maybe like 18 months ago, even people like desperate for SBs and Jordan 4s and still the Jordan 1 hype at the time, to now all the cool kids are rocking Timberlands and boots and workwear boots and stuff like that. It's crazy. It's
totally
such a bizarre change. Is that impacted the market? Like, because there's been a lot made of, is sneaker reselling dead or where's reselling now?
Yeah, it has. I think there's two sides of what I do, whereas I have the store in Soho, which is people coming in to buy your everyday shoes, your Dunks, your Jordan 4s, Jordan 1s, and there's less of that. But the shoes that I would class almost like an asset class, which are maybe 15, 20-year-old SBs, they're still selling. They're still increasing in value.
Mm.
So they're still selling. But yeah, the other side is definitely changing.
I guess it's probably impossible to predict, but are you quite confident that SB... or those more older pairs that are not going to get released anytime, like again, that's still going to go up in value? You reckon that's going to be the case?
I think so. They're very classic. They don't have an air unit, so they're not crumbling like other shoes would in time.
Yeah.
And you've got these shoes that are, say, in excess of 20 years old, that are still going for very big sums of money and increasing year on year. So I don't really see that slowing down. My opinion, I think more people are asking me about those types of shoes that weren't last year. I had someone recently that he collects watches and vintage cars. And he had just sold his company and he kind of, I guess he's probably bought every car and every watch he wants.
Mm.
And he wanted to diversify and have money in other things. So he asked me to recommend him a list of a group of shoes for a £20,000 budget. He said, what can I put my money into?
Wow.
And it was good because he just asked me to recommend what I think. He came with a load of shoes that he liked. But I said, look, I think go with these ones. And I've seen these particular deals, which are really good. And I would put my money there. And he was like, yeah, let's go with it. So... yeah, he spent 20,000 on a few pairs of shoes last week.
It's that's crazy, man. I guess that amount of value in a number, or just that number in general, is just mental that it's being thrown around so casually on kicks. A lot of people just won't get that.
It's just a Nike shoe at the end of the day.
Right?
So it's kind of a crazy thing to understand that shoe was once priced at $60-$90. It's now going for thousands.
Yeah, because that's like obviously right at the high end of the scale, man. Like my parents, I don't invest in kicks at all. I just buy like for personal collections and stuff, and for a lot for content. But my parents haven't got a clue. Like if I tell them, I was like, oh, I got a really good deal on this Like I bought like the Green SB Dunks. I bought a few guys the other day. I got a Moses. I was like, bro, I might buy these. And the store, well, the guy who works in your store with you, really close to you, Moses, was like, just take 100 quid off. I was like, oh, cool. And I bought them. And I was like, my parents like, Jack, how much you spend on these? And I was like, 700. And I was like, and they were like, bro, what? And I was like, well, no, it has some value. And it's like, yeah. You know, it's like something that they just no one really gets it, which is just. Yeah, it's fun, man. I guess it's probably why people love
it's
it.
It's a hard
as well.
Thing to explain.
It's a really hard thing to explain, and it's a hard thing for others to understand as well. Actually, I do get that. Releases this year. I know we spoke about you're not really you deal with a lot of 15 to 20 year old pieces. Is there any new shoes? What's next up? Any upcoming trends? Because obviously we've seen you know, Sambas, stuff like that. We saw Nike recently released the new fours, the white and gold ones, whatever they were called. I don't even know how well they sold. But yeah, is there anything upcoming?
I actually like that shoe. I think that's a good everyday shoe. It looks very good for summer.
I think it looks very good. It's kind of pure money vibes.
Yeah, I really like it.
Meg behind the camera absolutely hates the pure monies because I bought quite a few of them thinking, oh, people are going to love this, man, because it's like they look good. They're white. I've got the metallic hits. I was like, oh, they're going to fly. We're going to sell loads of them. We don't really move very well for us at all.
I guess they're more expensive, right?
Yeah, and also the I don't know when they're released, but there was no recent, I mean, there might be re-releasing soon, but there was no like, you know, they were a couple of years, quite a few years ago now, and they are quite worn. A lot of the pairs we have, and people were like, "Bro, the two beat." And I was like, "They're taking a bit of a hit here." But what's it like having a store in Soho? Because your store is next to Supreme, Stussy, or like in that space. You know, it's crazy.
It's a good location to be in. As you said, everything is kind of surrounding us, so it's kind of nice. We're near a few good hotels, so a lot of the hotel guests will come in and buy shoes when they're on their travels. And as a result of that, we've met some good people that I think have probably come from the hotel. So yes, it's a great place to be.
Yeah, I mean, it must be expensive, right?
Very expensive.
I bet it's crazy. I can't even comprehend.
It's very expensive.
You got to tell me off camera how much how much it is, because it is mental. I mean, you probably see quite a lot of like crazy drops as well with being this Supreme and Stussy. I imagine it gets quite chaotic around there sometimes.
We used to do clothing like 3 or 4 years ago, so a lot of the clothing would come over as well.
Got you.
So we would then get some very nice pieces in, and then we'd also do like a lot of the older Supreme as well. We did used to see a lot of cool stuff from that.
Well, a lot of people who are watching this pod now will be like, you know, how do I get into reselling? You know, because a few years ago, it was this massive trend to like, everyone wanted to be a reseller. And everyone, I think, had this assumption that if you became a reseller, you were kind of balling and it was easy and you were rich and you were making loads of money. It was this lavish lifestyle, which obviously is not the reality. Maybe it's for you now, but for most people, it definitely isn't. Is there any advice you could give to someone who really wants to make it?
I would say find a niche and just stick to that niche and know that niche better than anyone else. Whether that's, like, I'm very fond of used shoes because I believe you can add a real value selling new shoes, because you're cashing out someone that needs to get some capital back, so you're valuable to them, and then you're selling a used shoe for a fraction of the price of a new shoe, and then that person is effectively buying the shoe they wanted for, I don't know, 60% of the price. And I think that's a great thing to do. Or you focus in, I don't know, whether it be older shoes or a particular line of shoe. I think if you focus on that then and just keep doing it, that would be my advice.
Yeah. It's interesting in terms of like, because I imagine it's changed quite a lot, because in the last couple of years, you've seen like the generic Nike Dunks, like Nike obviously pumped so many pandas out, stuff like that. They would fly.
Yeah.
People would get hold of them, bro. And they were moving for, you could buy them on drop day for like 90 or quid, and then, or whenever, they used to drop all the time, and then they would move for 180, 190.
Yeah, those were crazy times.
What is up next in terms of resale wise? Is there a silhouette now, like that maybe not for you guys, but like anyone upcoming can buy? Do you reckon? What should someone trying to get into resale and effectively focus on? Which is actually a very hard question because I have no idea.
I think Jordan 4s are still doing very well. I think SBs are still doing very well. I think there's a big SB release coming soon, which is the Futura.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's a beautiful looking shoe.
We're going to hopefully get another 4SB collaboration soon as well, right? Which is going to be the blue colorway this time? Or have they not announced what color yet?
I don't know if it's the... I don't know if they're either bringing back the military blue or they're doing that as the...
I think they might be bringing back the military blue.
I don't know if they're doing it as the Jordan 4SB. I'm not sure. But either way...
What did you think of the 4SB? Because that was crazy. It was so interesting. I remember you actually did a video on it. I was researching
earlier. I thought that was actually... Because I don't really wear these types of shoes myself. But that Jordan 4, I think anything with a bit of green on it is always going to be good. But I just thought that shoe was so beautiful.
It was very nice. Yeah, the hit of SB on the back tab was really, really cool. And it was kind of a... Because obviously it was last year, like the big anniversary for SB, wasn't it? It was 50th anniversary, something like that. Or 40th, something like that. But they obviously killed it last year. And having to have that, an SB collaboration with a shoe like a Jordan 4, which is... so popular in the space at the moment, especially amongst like my audience. People absolutely loved it. I mean, it was a lot of people just kind of shoe of 2023. I don't know if it might have been voted like the shoe of the year.
I think it must have been.
Yeah, alongside stuff like the Cortez, because that was obviously insane.
That was a great
shoe. That was right at the start of 2023, and I think a lot of people forgot about it. I actually did like a tier list of like best shoes that released. I'm not gonna lie, I just completely forgot they released early in 2023, and everyone in the comments was like, bro, you're a fucking idiot. How did you forget this shoe? I was like, oh yeah, it wasn't
that. That was a great shoe.
Yeah, have you got any of them? You a big Air Max guy?
I used to be once upon a time. That was effectively how I started collecting shoes years and years and years ago. I would collect TNs.
Nice.
I never really got into 95s. I liked them, but I collected TNs mainly... a couple of 90s and a couple of ones, but I never, TNs were my thing. I never really got into anything else.
What is the personal collection looking like of someone who sells shoes for hundreds of thousands of pounds?
I don't really have a collection.
That's crazy, man. Like,
I have maybe 4 or 5 pairs of Vans, a few pairs of Crocs,
right?
A couple of Uggs. And that's kind of it, really.
Why is that the case? You've accessed all these insane pairs. People will be shouting at the screen right now, like, bro.
Yeah, I love the shoes to look at. I just feel that when I wear them, they just don't go with my aesthetic.
Yeah, okay.
So I love the shoes. I don't own any.
No, so you never have you ever? What's the most you've ever spent on like your personal pair? Like, nothing really that insane. Very normal.
I don't really think I've spent a lot of money on a pair of
really?
Shoes.
That's actually really interesting. Like, really fascinating.
Yeah.
That someone who does this as a livelihood.
I'm trying to think, and there just isn't anything.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, nothing stands out.
What sneaker trends are going to, any actual sneaker trends that are going to pop off this year? What's going to happen with like Sambas? Again, as someone who's so into the space. What's going to happen with it?
I like Sambas.
Because obviously you've seen like the World's Bonners, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think like flat bottom shoes, like Vans, Sambas, Jordan 1 Lows, I think they've all been doing very good. And I think that's going to continue as well.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Adidas have been doing that very well. You can kind of wear those shoes with all outfits, right? They're a bit smarter than wearing a Yeezy.
They are, yeah, that's true. I feel like that kind of aesthetic's a lot more in now.
Yeah.
So they're a lot. So people who still want to be trendy and wear that kind of smarter aesthetic as opposed to that 2018 hype can keep their sneak interest by going with like a OG Jordan 1 Low or a, I don't know, some kind of Samba or a Gazelle, something like that. I mean, that's a really interesting philosophy that we're probably going to see a lot less. Do you think, what about the Jordan hype? Other than like, let's not the low tops so much, but like the fours, the ones, is it more just collectors and people who were on the hype before the 2020 hype?
I think so. I think the last good Jordan 1 to release was maybe the Lost and Found. They're still like a very popular seller.
Yeah.
It's like a very traditional colorway. I don't think there's been anything since.
Yeah, they released back end of 2022. Didn't they? I think December, November 2022.
Yeah.
And that's a long time ago now, actually, when you say Jordan 1 for release since then.
Sounds sad, right?
It is really sad, man. And they were a great shoe. Yeah. They are a great shoe because they obviously have like the Kraken. And I think it's good that Nike did that because it's an accessible Chicago, yeah. OG Chicago, right? So people who are the new age of sneakerheads, yeah. who don't want to go and spend an insane amount of money on an 85 or something, you know, they can get a little bit of the OG and a bit of that vintage heritage through, yeah. a new modern silhouette. Interesting question I actually missed earlier. I want to speak about the biggest profit margin you have made on a shoe, if you can disclose that, because we need a bit of a clickbait clip.
I think it's about 90,000.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But that's insane.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. Can you tell me what shoe it is?
It was the Paris.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
That was almost like a perfect storm of events. So someone brought in a shoe. They came to sell a shoe and it was the Paris. Obviously I asked them if they wanted to sell it or they wanted to do a consignment option.
Mm.
And they said they were more keen to do an outright sale. They wanted, what do they want? I think he wanted at the time, I think he wanted 40,000.
Yeah.
Which was kind of near enough what some pairs, it was on the higher end of the spectrum of where some had sold for. I think realistically the shoe probably was going to sell for like £25,000. So I gave him the option. I said, look, I believe this shoe will sell for us for 25,000. I said, if you want to do a consignment option, we can do that. And then we'll pay you out when it sells minus a commission.
Mm.
Or if we can cash you out now, it'll be a lot lower.
Yeah.
And he was like, look, I just want cash now today. And I actually had cash on me at the time. I was about to buy a watch on that particular day.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to get the watch. And we bought it for, it was either 10 or 11,000. And then.
So he wanted 40, right?
He wanted 40. I said that was a bit north of what I believed it would sell for. I said, I think it would sell for 25. So I gave him the consignment option, which would have returned him, I don't know, 23 or something like this. He was like, I want cash now. So then we negotiated, got it for 10,000-11,000, I think it was. And we marketed the shoe. No one really bit on the shoe. And then we ended up having it for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. And in that 2 or 3 months, you had a pair that had sold at Sotheby's for like 80,000. And I think it was a size US 10. I think ours was a US 10 and a half. So it was more desirable. So then when that happened, I think everyone that had a Paris had put their pairs up in price.
Yeah.
So I put mine up to 130,000. But that was more as a clickbait thing. It was more, I kind of wasn't trying to sell it because I just thought the value would keep rising. Put it at 130,000. And then a customer just walked in and bought it to the short story.
Wow. So he just came in.
He bought a load of SBs. Bought a load of SBs and asked if we had anything else crazy. This was being stored in a vault about an hour away, right, from the store.
He asked it was not even in your... You have to securely lock it up?
Yeah, it was stored in a vault somewhere, yeah.
That's mental, mate. That's so crazy.
He took my number and said, have you got anything else? So he spent about 35,000 on shoes in the store. And then he took my number and said, have you got anything else crazy in this size? I actually said, no, I completely forgot. I said, I don't have anything else. And as he was leaving, he was getting into his taxi or whatever it was. Then I remembered. So I texted his number saying, I've got one of these. He was only in the UK. He was like a traveling tourist. I was like, I've got one of these in your size. I completely forgot. And he was like, I'll come see it tomorrow. So I went to the safe, got it, brought it in. And then he negotiated. And then I think it sold for 100,000 or 101,000.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm.
So, right. Let me go back a little bit. Bought it for 11 grand.
Mm-hmm.
You took the guy down from 40 to 11 and then you moved it for 100. And you sat on it for, you didn't just move it instantly. It was sat for.
I think it was about 2 or 3 months.
And in that time, the value went up a little bit.
Yeah, it wasn't that value when we bought it. It was just, I can't remember what happened. I think Sotheby sold a pair. I think someone might have been seen wearing a pair.
Okay, okay.
And there was a bit of...
Bit of hype there.
There was a bit of hype. I think Travis had just been seen wearing his. And then, yeah, the value just kind of was just increasing over those months.
That's insane, man. So where's the market on the Paris Dunks now? Because obviously they are one of the... When people talk about like grails, a lot of people's grails because it's such a crazy shoe.
I think they've come down a little bit,
which
is crazy because I think a lot of other things have gone up. But I think just with where the market is and I think people not having the same money they did once upon a time, I think they've come down a bit now, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But again, it isn't a... Have those higher end pairs dropped in value because of the, like, I guess like the UK anyway, like everyone, no one has any money. Has it impacted those people who can afford those premium pairs or not really?
No, I don't think so.
Because I imagine someone who can go and splash, I don't know, X amount of money on the Freddies or I don't know, like the Parises for or whatever, I imagine would still be balling. They're not going to be like your everyday guy.
Agree.
Which is... actually insane when you think about that amount of money. Bro, 90 grand's insane.
Yeah.
I'm very, very jealous. I mean, we're going to have a private conversation off camera. I need some tips and tricks. Any other insane or crazy interesting stories where customers have came in or you've delivered to customers where they spent like big racks? Any stories that catch your eye? Because you go everywhere to drop stuff off to your private clients, which is really fascinating. And again, I'm very jealous because I would love to get to that point where I can just dart around and do a bit of traveling. Someone hits me up and I'm like...
I went to... This wasn't even a shoe. This was a watch. I went to Dubai to drop off a watch just before Christmas, which was just over $250,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck. Bro, I'm in the wrong business. I had a period, I was at uni and then started doing TikTok and stuff and I got a little bit more money, right? And we had a couple, recently sold a bit of a business. And so I have a bit more money now than I did. And I have been looking at watches and I've got really tiny wrists, right? So I've always been really paranoid about watches. I actually bought the Tissot Tiffany blue, right?
I have that as well.
Because I was like, I've got to get into watches very gradually. I'm not going to be an idiot and spend 10 grand on an entry level Rolex because I don't know if I'm even going to like it, right? And watch games, a bit like shoes, a bit more extreme, very, very extreme.
Yeah.
Anyway, I bought that and it just, bro, it's so big on me.
Mm.
So I was like, bro, I'm gonna get bullied online if I wear a lady's watch as well. So I was like, I don't know what to do. But let's talk about watches a little bit. They are, I guess there is some very similarities to sneakers in more modern times, for sure.
I think it's very similar. There's like all the watches I have, I bought like 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Okay, okay.
And I think there's a lot of watches now that are going for good money, but they're all the modern ones. There's no kind of rarity of any of these newer watches.
Yeah.
Whereas you can get older watches, which obviously they're not making those ones anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I think those ones are better. There's no, apart from this one I'm wearing, there's no real modern watches that interest me.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. I mean, I was looking at, I was going to get like a Tank watch because...
I think they're beautiful.
Yeah, my wrist is small and it will just look better than like a bigger than a bigger face. But yeah, what if someone who is going to get into watches entry level, what should they buy, man? Like, what's a good... I don't want to buy a watch what should I buy? I don't want to buy a watch that's like just for an investment. I do want to wear it, but I also don't want to buy one that's going to lose value incredibly like fast, you know?
I think you couldn't go wrong with a Rolex Daytona, ideally steel, or a GMT or a sub.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go wrong with any of those watches.
I signed up to, I don't know who it was, but you know, if you get on a weight, you know way more than I do. But again, when I was trying to get a Rolex like a year ago, I was like, I'll just sign up. They just hit me up and Goldsmiths will just sort me out. I couldn't even get on a waiting list for a sub or anything like that. And obviously to a normal person who's into watches, they'd be like, obviously. But for me, who doesn't really get, or hasn't had much experience in watches, I was like, bro, this is crazy. This is like trying to buy like a Birkin bag or something. Like,
I don't think you flexed your clout though when you went in, did you?
No, not at all. Not
I think
at
that
all.
Would probably change things.
Do you reckon if I went in there and said I have X amount of...
No, I think so, personally.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I could have got onto the wait list for like an Explorer, a new Explorer, but I
think they're really nice.
They are nice, but I was like, I don't really know anything about it. Yeah. You know, I'm like, what am I doing here type thing. So, but yeah, I've had some advice since, but I'm still not set on anything. What's the game with your watch reselling? Is that something you do quite a lot, or is it just a casual thing?
I wouldn't ever say any watches I've ever bought, I've just kept for my personal collection. This was the deal I did before Christmas, was a particular client. I got a load of shoes for them, and then they asked me to get them the Travis AP.
Yeah.
Which...
That released end of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then I'd kind of lined up the deal, and then it fell through with the person I was buying it from. And then they had kind of, or the person I was giving it to had realized they wanted a watch more than that, which was a very similar watch. And then they took that. A friend of mine had the watch, so I sold it to them. Yeah.
That's crazy, yeah.
So I would have loved the Travis AP to sell that.
Yeah, talk to me about that, because I don't know anything about that. What was the market on that?
I think it had a retail price of $200,000.
Yeah.
There was 200 of them. 200 of them made, and they were going for, I don't know, double that, $400,000.
That's insane, yeah. That's insane. What's the biggest markup you made on one of your watches?
Well, I've never sold any of mine.
Never at all?
Never.
So it's always just kind of been sourcing and...
Yeah. I've only done a couple when someone's bought shoes and they said to me, oh, can you get me one of these?
I see. Yeah. So it's almost just like kind of passing comments in private. So... For a normal person, it is not normal to have this amount of network and access. How have you built this like insane network to the point where someone can hit you up? Or you just know all these amazing private clients?
That has all directly come from the store.
Because of the location.
And then there's been a few things which I've developed from TikTok. So people saying, I've seen you there. Can you help me get this, and this?
Okay.
So it's a mixture of the store and TikTok.
Has that been quite recent for you then?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Really?
Since the middle of last year.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but I imagine quite quickly become...
Yeah, it happened quite quickly last year, yeah.
And then going back even further, how did you actually get into this? Because like you said, you've had watches for a while. How long have you been moving shoes for and stuff like that, and like collecting that type of stuff?
Okay, so that's a good question.
I've probably done this in the completely wrong order, but we can work with it.
So I always had a thing for shoes, TNs. When I was, say, 14, 15, 16, I was always wearing TNs. Any money I was making, I was buying TNs. And then there was I don't even know how to politically say this correctly. There was a group of lads from my area. I don't know if they were dodgy or not. I don't know what they did. But they would always see my shoes because I would... Back then, the colorways were more region-specific.
TNs
back then, you'd only get like a pair that only released in America.
Yes.
And then I would come up to London, Shepherd's Bush, and get these TNs and wear them. And these people would ask me...
I haven't seen them and stuff.
Yeah, and then these people would say, I want these shoes. So then I was only 16 at the time. I would get the money from them up front. I would say, well, listen, if you want this pair, it's going to cost you X, Y, Z. You've got to pay me in advance because I've got to go get the shoes. I don't want to be... I didn't have any money at that point. So then I'd go to London once a week, get an order of shoes and then bring them back and then give them to everyone that had paid me for them. So that was when it started. It was like 23 years ago.
Wow. And then what did you do? What have you always done this kind of, because it's not, you know, it's not a traditional job, is it really? It's no 9 to 5. Even though you have a store, it definitely isn't a...
I did that for a while and then... I don't know if I fell out of love with it, but I kind of went out and got a proper job.
Yeah.
I worked in advertising for a while. And then I wasn't really buying shoes, anything. And then obviously the store that came about was by accident. I created an app, which was called Proxied originally.
Yeah.
And the app was for the new releases. When people are lining up at Supreme to buy them, you could go on the app and secure an item from someone that was about to buy the item.
Yeah.
And you could drop it off at that store, which was almost like a drop-off location.
That's sick, yeah.
So it was like StockX, but being able to get the item on the same day.
On the same day. I bet that was a lot of like Supreme and stuff like that.
A lot of Supreme, a lot of Palace, and a lot of shoes. But then the app ran into problems. And then because I had the unit there... I was like, there's the unit's paid for. There's no point in shutting it down. So a few friends had said, look, let me stick a shoe on the wall. If it sells, you just take a little cut. And then, so the app was running into problems and the shoes started selling. So that's kind of how the store was built.
Yeah,
really.
You've done quite a lot. What makes a solid shoe collection? What should people be doing to boost it out, make a good one?
So I think the first thing would always be to just buy things you like.
Yeah.
People say that about watches, right? There's probably no point in buying things that you don't like because I guess you're going to have no desire to keep it. Now, if you're keeping shoes for the long run, that's when they start going up in value, right?
Yes, yeah.
So I think the first thing to do is buy things you like, make them like very sort of classic shoes, like an SB or a Jordan 1. And buy things you like.
Yeah, I think that's people always ask me that question. They always ask me, and I always say, bro, just buy whatever you want, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't help at all. It doesn't help. That's not what they're looking for, answer-wise. But that is the truth.
Yeah.
Because then what happens is you go into learning more about what you actually do like. Because what you buy initially is never going to be what you end up loving.
Yeah.
The likelihood of that is very, very, very unlikely. I mean, like, you know, I started off buying loads of Yeezys because it was what was trending at the time. And I loved that. The way it dropped, and it was just so crazy, and it was such a fun time, such a fun community. And now obviously I still have quite a few pairs, but don't really wear them on a daily at all. I think, you know, my style's matured quite a lot, but I think it's right. Wear what you want, people. That's the big takeaway from it.
Because I don't think anyone, I didn't think the Cortez 95s were going to go as crazy as they did.
Yeah.
But me, not even particularly, I do like 95s. I wouldn't wear a pair, but the Cortez 95s, I even contemplated, I wanted a pair, but then it didn't really go with anything I was wearing. So I never ended up getting a pair, but that like dark blue and pink one is.
Yeah, the pink beam. Are they the pink beams, the black
and
pink
I think
ones?
That's one of the best shoes.
They're amazing. The pink Air Bubble was really cool.
That's an amazing.
Yeah, really,
and the
really
value
cool.
of those now, people were picking them up for £200, and now they're, I don't know.
They're still like 400 or 500, man. They move the bigger size. I mean, if you're trying to buy a pair in a 10, 11, it's hard.
It's crazy.
Really, really hard. Well, is there anything as a reseller that you kind of haven't sold, but you really want to try and sell? Like just would be a bit of an accomplishment to sell to someone.
Yes and no. The shoe that I really wanted to sell, I sold, but I wasn't allowed to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I would like to get another one of those that I
and
can
document a little bit.
And that I can document.
Yeah.
I've never had any sort of original 85s unworn with everything.
How many of them would be on the market though? Like completely dead. Like
completely dead stock. There can't be too many. Pairs do pop up occasionally.
They'd be going for a good pretty penny.
Yeah, and in bigger sizes, they're obviously a lot more. I'd love or a signed Jordan 1.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That would be cool.
That's probably one thing I would contemplate having in my collection.
Yeah, okay.
I would like to have one of those.
Yeah, that would be cool. Well, a signed one would be very pretty on the wall.
I would love a signed one of those.
Yeah, that would be sick. That would be sick. Yeah, I agree. I think I would love to sell something like that. Something a bit more collectible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, shoes are collectible in general, but I mean, so that signature gives it that artistic feel.
I'd love to have one of those.
That's cool. That's interesting. Is there much in your collection space, like in terms of shoes, fashion, and kind of who do you look up to in terms of motivation? I know you said you haven't got the biggest shoe collection, but you're obviously a big Chrome Hearts guy, fashion-wise.
I mean, that's a completely different world. That's a world that I'll never even touch the sides of, right? There's people that have got...
That's insane, mate. Like
one of one pieces, the jewelry. And yeah, that's...
That's a whole nother episode, bro, because that's
a wild world.
That is a crazy world.
In terms of shoe collectors... There's a few guys over in America that probably do what I do, but better and on a bigger scale, which I love what they do. I'm not going to say their names because I don't want to give away my sources. but yeah, there's a few people. I mean, even Dennis, who you had on the other week, I love what Dennis does.
He's a cool guy, really cool guy.
He's been doing this a little while as well. So there's a few people that do this very, very well.
Yeah.
I like what all of them do Because everyone does something slightly different.
Yeah,
right?
I feel it feels amazing, man. Because I meet so many people who are like yourself, who are like big resellers, if you like, with big private clients, big yeah. money, big like people wanting to buy off them. And there's never any like, it's just really chill.
Yeah,
I don't sell to any of those clients, so it's probably completely different. But like with what Kicksforce do is probably quite different. But everyone's always helping each other out, always yeah. offering advice.
There's another guy as well called Jimmy. I don't know if you've heard of Jimmy Shoes.
Jimmy, the older guy, right?
Yeah.
He came to my house, and I obviously it's the first time I met him, and he doesn't know who I am. But he came to my house to pick up a Supreme Director's chair back in I think it was a sneaker con. And he bought it off me. And he was so cool, man. One of the nicest guys I've ever had like a 10-minute conversation with.
He's an amazing guy. We've done a lot of business together, and then we kind of, me and him normally meet up once a week. We have a sandwich and a coffee,
cool.
and he helps me out with stuff. But yeah,
he was nice,
well.
Man.
I love
what
he does as well.
Yeah, he's a top guy. To finish off, is there anything else you would venture in? Because you've done so much. What's next? What are you going to move next? What are you going to resell next?
My real passion is in advertising. So I think my next venture will be something advertising related.
Okay. So away from, well, it could still be shoes, but away from.
I think it will still be tied in with shoes.
Yeah.
Or fashion in general, yeah. and UK culture, but it will be, I suppose, advertising focused.
Okay. Interesting.
That's what I really like. I'm very fond of what TikTok has done for people in this industry, right? People have been able to, I guess, get exposure that they would never have ordinarily been able to get.
I mean, it's literally, yeah, like myself's a perfect example. That's a like game changer, man. Complete game changer.
And just because of their algorithm, right? If you're producing good content in a certain niche and regularly, TikTok will give you that exposure and push you.
Yeah.
So you're getting seen by the right people. You don't need to do hashtags. You don't need to do none of that.
They're very smart because it picks up on the dialogue and as opposed to like just the title and stuff like that. But sir, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll have to have a few conversations afterwards because I'm sure you can give me a couple of bits of advice.
I'll try.
On a few things. But Ryan, man, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Make sure to check out Ryan's socials, London Sneaker Club. Check him out in Soho. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching. If you're listening on Spotify, give the little heart a like. And if you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And thank you, and we'll see you in the next episode.